Good morning. Praise Jesus. Good morning. Isn't it a beautiful morning? I hope everybody had a beautiful Christmas and a beautiful week. This morning, I don't have any wise words. I just want to welcome everybody who came today. I want to remind you to open your hearts and open your spirits to worship the Lord and be ready to give to Him and to also receive from Him. As we worship Him corporately and individually. When we come to worship, one of the things that I just learned recently was, you know, when we have our children and they're small and they come to us and they're up, pick me up, I want you. Well, people think, why should I raise my hands in church? I'm not showing off, but it's my way of telling Jesus, I want you. Up. So this is why we raise our hands when we worship, because we're giving Him our trust and our surrender. And He is always going to be faithful to give it to us, to give us His love and give us His presence. So thank you for coming this morning. Heavenly Father, Lord, we lift this worship service and this baptismal service, Lord, and every bit of this day to you, Lord. You come and you have this day, Lord, with us. Lord, let us rest in you as we worship you, Lord. And Lord, please enjoy this worship, Lord. It is all for you, Lord. Let it make your throne room joyous with the sounds of the saints singing your praises, Lord. And we just lift this service to you in this day in our hearts, Lord, and we just thank you for it. In the sweet name of Jesus, amen.
tasted and seen of the sweetest of loves. When my heart becomes free and my shame is undone, in your presence, Holy Spirit.
Come fly. breakthrough if your presence isn't there. Feel stirred in your heart this morning. I know it's a bit spontaneous, but that's Jesus. If you feel like you have a stirring on your heart to get baptized, you're more than welcome to. Here is where I lay it down, every burden, every crown. This is my surrender. This is my surrender. And here is where I lay it down. Every lie and every doubt. This is my surrender.
And now And just after we had our last baptism, and he came up to me right away once he started coming. He says, "I want to be baptized." And so I made sure that we would get it within a timely manner. And so do you have anything you want to share today?
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. That's good. You're committed to walking with Christ and following him all the days of your life?
Yes, I am.
All right. Well, baby, I'm based on your confession. I baptize you in the name of the Father. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Father.
That was awesome. We'll do it again.
I'm going to pray for you. We thank you for Fabian's life, Lord. We thank you, God, that he wants to follow you, Lord, that he chooses, Lord, to follow you. And, Lord, you've chose him first, Lord. You've got a plan for this young man's life, Lord. And we just release your perfect will over him right now, Lord. We agree with what you want to do in Fabian, Lord. We know, God, that you have good and perfect plans for him to walk in, Lord. We know that you've given him everything that pertains to his life and godliness, Lord. So right now, Father, we just thank you for his life. We thank you, Lord, that his life is going to be separated for you. And, Lord, that he will walk with you, Lord, all the days of his life, Lord. And that you will follow him wherever he goes, and you'll always be with him. And we bless him now in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. This is Desiree, or as we call her, Desi. And she was pretty much the same. She, after the last baptism, she says, "I want to be baptized." So praise God that these younger lives want to dedicate their life to Christ, want to be sealed in his power and his glory, and walk a new life. Desi, you want to share anything?
Just want to say God is great, and I'm so excited for this.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. All right. And Desi, you choose to walk with the Lord the rest of your days of your life?
Yes. Amen.
Based upon your confession of faith, Desiree, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Father, right now, we just pray for Desiree, Lord, that you would just be with her, Lord, as you promised to. Lord, that you would guide and direct her steps. Lord, that you would lead her into all truth. And Lord, that the eyes of her understanding would be enlightened, Lord, that she would know what is the hope of her calling, what is the riches of the glorious inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding power, Lord, of your power towards her according to the power that you were raised from the dead with, Father. Lord, we just bless her right now in the mighty name of Jesus, and we thank you, Lord, for her life. And Lord, we're looking forward to see what great things you do in the coming days. In Jesus' name,
amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Praise God. Isn't God good, you guys? The significance of somebody getting dunked is huge. It's huge. I know it's something that we do in church and we can kind of gloss over it like, oh yeah, that's a cool thing little Christians do. But no. We're making like a dedication, like I'm going in the water as one thing and I'm coming out as a new thing. This is a big deal. Can we give the Lord one more shout of praise?
Come rest on us, come rest on us.
Yeah, I just want to stay here for a few minutes. I don't feel like God's done yet. You know, he gave up his only son so that any of us who believe could have everlasting life and not perish. As a mom, I don't think I could give up my children for any one person. But he loves us so much. And I feel like he just wants to have a love encounter with someone today. So if you're feeling a stirring, if you feel a stirring, like your chest is getting all hot and you're kind of shaky, but you don't really know what to do with it, I just invite you to come up because we'd love to pray with you. I feel like God has something specific to say to you. And he's calling you by name. Yeah, it's not an accident that you're here today. And what a privilege, you guys, that we get to come and corporately worship in freedom while our brothers and sisters in other places are being torn down for the same thing. Yeah. So God, I just thank you. Lord, I thank you for what you're doing. I just want you guys to put out your hands like you're going to receive a gift. Yeah, God has something super big. I just feel like he's not done yet. I need you more. Is that too much? It's just a song that's pressed on my heart, and I feel like God wants to do something, like a real love encounter today, you guys. And for that song, just is not leaving me, so just bear with us as we get this going.
More than words can say.
he's so good about when we pour out to him and give to him. He loves it, and he loves it so much, but he also wants to pour out and give to you. Worship is an exchange. Yeah. God, we just thank you for this miraculous day, Father. People dedicating their lives publicly to you and wanting that more of you, Father. Lord, I am so humbled by who you are and your sacrifice so that I, little old me, gets to be in relationship with you with no reservations. It doesn't matter. God, I thank you for calling us yours. I thank you for seeing gold in us when we don't see it in ourselves, Father. Lord, I just pray that you would have the rest of this service, God, and that this time of worship wouldn't stop here when the music stops, God, but that those strings that are being pulled on, Father, would continue to be pulled on by you, Father, that we would just continue to feel you in a tangible way throughout this service, God, and that you would continue to touch the heart of us that's here, and that you continue to just pour yourself out, bringing transformation of mind and spirit, God. I thank you, Father. And in Jesus' name we pray, amen. All right, guys, give it up for the worship team. Now find a shoulder of someone you haven't said hello to yet this morning, get a cup of coffee, and enjoy.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. All right, well, we are going to declare God's will and plan and purposes over Yakima. We've been doing this now for over a year, and I've been talking to people, and it appears that God is doing things. Not that he wasn't doing things before, but there's reports of what God is doing. So let's believe that as we speak these words, that they're not empty words on a screen, but they're actually life-giving words to our city. Says that with the mouth of a righteous man, a city's either exalted or cast down. So let's believe that today we're lifting this city up. So if you would stand with me, and on three, we're going to declare. One, two, three. Thank you, Lord, for what you are doing in the Yakima Valley right now. And today we declare that my city will be saved, that revival will sweep the streets of the Yakima Valley, that every business, big or small, will thrive, that the families in my city will have all of their needs met. I declare that every politician in our city and state would have the wisdom of heaven, that you would use me in doing all of these things. And I declare that your will be done in Yakima as it is in heaven. Amen. Amen. Yes, Lord, we declare, Lord, over the city, your will, your desire, your purposes. Lord, we know that there's hearts, Lord, that still haven't seen you yet and experienced you yet, Lord, in your fullness. Lord, remove the scales, remove the veils, remove the obstacles and the barriers that the enemies put up to keep them from seeing who you are in their lives. Lord, we pray right now for marriages in this city. Lord, we pray that Yakima would shock the nation by the statistics that we don't follow the normal report of 50 to 60% divorce. Lord, we believe, Lord, that you can hold marriages together, God. You can keep them stabilized because of your presence in their lives, because of your truth in their lives. So Lord, we release, Lord, your perfect will over marriages in Yakima right now in Jesus' name. Lord, we pray that love would fill those homes. Lord, love would fill the places, Lord, where anger and resentment and other things have filled, Lord, that your love would come in and cause those hearts, Lord, to feel your perfect love. Lord, we thank you that you're doing above and beyond all we can even ask or think right now. All we could ask or declare, Lord, you're doing above and beyond right now, Lord. So we look forward to the great reports that are going to be coming in the following days in in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. So we have a few announcements that I'm really excited about. So we are doing our now annual, I believe this is our third year, 21 days of prayer and fast. And we're going to start this as a church beginning on January 10th, which is a Wednesday. And so gives you a few days to think about what you want to give up. And a few years ago when we started this, some of the best words I heard about, because you think fast, obviously you can give up food and that would be really, really hard. And yes, also there are other things in our life that almost can be even more painful to give up. One year I gave up coffee. I couldn't ask for Jesus to come back any sooner during those 21 days. But Gaylene, I think it was last year, maybe the year before that, she said as she was thinking about what to give up, like, what hurts? Like, when I think about what to give up, like, what is going to hurt me to give up? I think that was the year I actually did give coffee. Immediately she said that. And so this is the heart behind this. It's not just something to do because other churches do it or whatever. It's actually to come into the new year with a fresh mind and a fresh spirit and actually be praying, not just so you could suffer, not just so you could be without, but actually so you can be, while those times you were giving something up, you're laying something down, you're picking something else up. You're making an exchange with the Lord. And so you have 10 days to consider what you want to give up. I would encourage everybody, if you call this place home, that you would fast with us, you would pray with us, and believe for great things for your lives as well as for the house of God here. Amen. And then the other exciting things that we're doing in addition to this, along with the fast, so we're going to have three nights. These are Saturdays. So the 13th, the 20th, and the 27th. Okay. So the first two are prayer nights. We're going to come here to the church. We're going to pray from 6 to 7:30. And we're just going to, everybody's invited. If you can come for a little bit, if you can come for the whole thing, that'd be great. If you can come to one of these nights, that'd be great. But I would encourage you that you would make these nights a priority. The January 27th, that's the Saturday before we end our fast, is a worship night. So we're going to come together. We're going to worship as a family. And I know it's crazy to think coming to church for a second day of the week, but it's okay. We'll be okay if we come to the church for, you're going to be just fine. Okay. So again, I would encourage you, put these dates in your calendar, come pray with us, come worship with us. And, it's going to be a great time. And then the last thing we have is our giving. We just thank you guys for sowing into our house. I believe that this is a blessed house. I believe that people are giving, out of not only out of their abundance, but out of their lack. And so thank you for the hearts of our people that give. And you can give online. We have the box in the back, the box over here. And again, just make sure that you're giving with the heart of joy, a heart of thankfulness. And I believe that God's going to bless that just as he's blessed our house. Amen? Amen. Amen. All right, Pastor.
I turn it on? Okay. Sorry. There we go. He's got a scripture that's on his heart that he wanted to share with those that are being baptized. Now they've been baptized, so.
Yes. And those that have been baptized here, there's been quite a few young people come through this baptismal, and the Lord laid these scriptures on my heart, and that song that we sang this morning, I will make room for you. You got to make room for him.
Amen.
And this is about counting the cost. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth down first and counteth the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it, lest haply, after he hath laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, that behold, it begin to that all that behold begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. Or what king, going out to war against another king, sitteth down first and consulteth whether he be able with 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him with 20,000? Or else, while the other is yet in the way, while the other is yet a great way off, he sendeth an ambassage, and desireth conditions of peace. So likewise, whosoever be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot become my disciples. And I just it takes giving everything, you know. Salvation is free. Everything after that costs your life. Not an arm and a leg. It costs your life. If you don't do it wholeheartedly, it's not gonna make any difference. But you gotta go at it all with all your heart. So Lord, I just lift up these people that have been baptized here. Lord, I pray that they will finish well, that they will pursue and pursue you with all their heart, Lord. You will seek me and find me when you seek for me with all your heart. So we just pray that blessing over them, Lord, and help us to endure to the end. In the name of Yeshua, our Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Amen. Thanks, Bob. Thank you. Thanks, Bob. Praise the Lord.
Well, you know, it is December 31st, and this is the day that I was baptized 44 years ago. So those of you who are baptized today, you've joined the New Year's Eve Club. That's awesome. Praise the Lord. So New Year's is always a special time for me, because when the New Year's Eve comes, I remember it was just an hour or so before midnight that I was baptized at Bible Temple in Portland. And it always lets me, and we've had many, meetings at our house, gatherings at our house on New Year's, and we always go around and talk about, what we would like to see the Lord do this year in our lives, and thank him for what he did already this past year. And but there's also something that usually takes place at New Year's, and it's New Year's resolutions, right? How many enjoy the time between Thanksgiving and Christmas, and all the goodies and everything, and you start evaluating, the inches that have developed over the past, month or several months, who knows, years possibly for some of us, and you start thinking of different things that you could do in the coming year to try to be better. And, some of us, have had times and seasons of exercise, and then, you fall off the wagon, and you're not doing what you need to do, and you think, oh, I'm going to start exercising, or I'm going to start eating right. I'm not going to be eating a Big Mac every single day, or eating at Arby's or whatever it is for fast food. You're going to start eating healthy, or I'm going to start doing more things with my family. We're going to go on walks. We're going to start enjoying more time together. And those are all good. Sometimes it's just we look at our bad habits and we say, I don't want bad habits anymore. I'm going to get rid of those. So I would like to help you today by giving you 5 ways to help you ensure success with your New Year's resolution. This isn't the message, but this is just to help you with your New Year's resolution, if you have one. Number one, start small and specific. In other words, don't sit there and go like, I'm going to go ahead and, and just do this big, huge thing and end up falling on your face. How many know that it's very hard to make a very significant change overnight, unless God has like truly, truly inspired you and Holy Spirit has given you wisdom of how to do that. Or you're just plain delivered. Sometimes that can happen. So instead of, and the specific goals, instead of saying, I'm going to get healthy, try to say, I'm going to walk for 15 minutes after dinner every day. Just something different, something that's going to start your progress to better health. Number two, focus on habits, not outcomes. So in other words, don't sit there and say, you know, I'm going to go ahead and be more spiritual, you know. I'm gonna go ahead and I'm gonna start finally acting or living like a Christian. Start saying I'm gonna pray 5 minutes a day. Something very, very specific. Is there something? I saw Gay look like. Is there something wrong? And number three, embrace accountability. This is a huge one. I think accountability is probably one of the greatest things that keeps us from being able to follow through with commitments that we make. Share your resolution with a supportive friend or family member who can check in and cheer you on, not somebody that's going to, oh, you loser, you stop. You don't want that. You want somebody that's going to help encourage you along the way. So make sure the accountability partner has your best interest at heart. And then number four, celebrate progress, not perfection. In other words, when you slip up, don't sit there and knock yourself down and just, you know, want to give up because you didn't quite reach your goal that week. You know, reset. Tomorrow's a new day. Start afresh. You're not going for perfection when you're just realizing that it's a progressive process that you're in. You're going to be more successful. And then most of all, this is number five. This is really the big one. Ask the Lord for his strength and guidance to help you. We're Christians, so we should be able to have God help us change. And I give you this scripture because it's perfect for this. Proverbs 16:3, commit your actions to the Lord and your plans will succeed. I love that. So right there, it tells if you want to change your life this year, commit your actions to the Lord and your plans will succeed. So those are New Year's revolutions. Oh, sorry, I kicked up. Those are New Year's resolutions. I want to talk about a New Year's revolution. Yeah. I've thought about this before. You know, it's like resolutions are nice, but what if we got like a revolutionary lifestyle change? You know, that people don't even recognize us after God's done with us. You know, the thing is, that should be the case already. It should be that we're already being revolutionized. We're already being transformed. Another word for this is metamorphosis, transformation, regeneration, or renewal. Think of like a caterpillar. Caterpillar is like one type of being, goes into its cocoon, and then comes out what? Like a butterfly. It's a transformation. It's metamorphosis. So I'm going to start out by saying you are revolutionized. When we think of revolutionaries, we think of those that are getting ready to overturn a government or something like that. When you hear on the news, these revolutionaries took over, you know, such and such a palace, and they didn't like the way the government was being ran. Well, you may say to yourself, I need a revolutionary experience in my life. I'm not liking the way this being's being ran. In other words, I don't like the way I'm living. And not like a resolution. I'm talking about a transformation. You're going to be one way when you start, and you're going to be another way once you've let God do the revolutionary work in you. So let's look at a scripture here that says we are already revolutionized. Ezekiel 11:19-20. Then I will give them one heart, and I will put a new spirit within them. And I'll take the stony heart out of their flesh, and give them a heart of flesh, that they may walk in my statutes and keep my judgments and do them. And they shall be my people, and I will be their God. So this is talking about a time in the future for a people that will be on the earth, and he's going to take their stony hearts and give them a heart of flesh. He's going to allow the hardness and the destruction that the enemy's brought into our lives and caused a hard and calloused heart to be softened, and we'll have a new heart. And so I believe that that's telling us that as believers, this is where we're starting. We have new hearts. We have new lives that have been given to us. It says here in 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. So this is why I'm saying you are revolutionized. We are new creations. We used to be one way, and now we're another way. And you're saying, well, Pastor Mike, I don't feel like a new creation. I don't see like new creation lifestyle in my life. I don't see new creation habits. I don't see new creation thought processes. I seem to be thinking like I always did. Well, that's because you haven't gotten to the second step. But when you receive Christ, you become a new creation. You have the potential to fully change. If you remember right, before you knew Jesus, the things of God were like all kinds of mysteries and foolishness, and almost sometimes you would laugh at it because you think, oh, those crazy Christians, they go to church on Sundays, you know, and I get to stay home and sleep in or watch football games or whatever, you know, you would think about Christians. And then when you got saved, all of a sudden you realize, oh, there's something different about life. And now you have the ability to change. You have the ability to be fully transformed. Praise the Lord. 2 Corinthians 5:17 in the Passion says this: now if anyone is enfolded into Christ, he has become an entirely new creation. All that is related to the old order has vanished. Behold, everything is fresh and new. This is the key. This is the key. Being in Christ. When we're first saved, we realize that we're in Christ. We realize that something has happened to us. I mean, when I got saved, I remember one day I was thinking a certain way, and the next day I was thinking different. It just happened. I would watch shows that I used to love to watch, and all of a sudden I would go like, oh, this isn't right. I shouldn't be watching this. Nobody told me that. Nobody said, yeah, you've got these shows that you can watch and nothing else. It just was inside of me, the Holy Spirit. Went to a movie one time with my friends and walked out because I said, nope, I can't watch this. I was driving down the road listening to one of my rock and roll songs, and I'm singing along with it. All of a sudden, I hear the words that I'm saying, and I was driving my little Volkswagen Beetle back then. My windows were down. I was in Portland. I went, eject, out the window that quick because I just said, this is not right. It was something that had happened to me. I saw things differently. I felt things differently. But you know, over time, it seemed to like wane. Even though I was reading my word, and even though I'd go to church and Bible studies, it's like the fire kind of was going out. And I realized that I had to like continue to press in to have this new work in my life stay alive. But we're entirely new creations when we're enfolded into Christ. In other words, when we are in Christ, we're a new creation. So what would that say? If we're out of Christ, if we're not remaining in his goodness, in his love, in his grace, if we're trying to do things in our own power, then what happens? Then we're not new creations. We act differently. That's why our behavior doesn't follow what we should when we're Christians, when we're believers, when we've received that born-again experience. Let's look at another idea here. Revolutions are a process. So this is what I'm talking about. When I was first saved, all of this stuff was coming to me, new creation, brand new man, and it was happening. But over time, it seemed to like wane. I had to continue in Christ and continue in the things of God, because otherwise the world's coming at you like a freight train all the time. And how many know the world is not pointing you toward Jesus? It's not. It's pointing the opposite direction. It's saying, you got to get what you can for yourself. You got to step on people if you have to get what you need, or, you know, or get what you want. You know, if you need to, you know, stab somebody in the back to get what you want, go for it. You know, all of these things. Now, some people say, well, the world doesn't really say that. No, the world system says that. Maybe not everyone in the world, but the world system says that. All you have, what's that? Yeah, all you have to do is look at Washington, D.C., and you'll see, like, the world on display. Everybody there is trying, not everybody, but a lot of people there are trying to get whatever they can out of, you know, what inch of what we have, our own resources that we send there, so that they can pad their pockets. That's because they're in the world. And the world is, gimme, 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 my name is Jimmy, right? So a revolutionary process is what we need to go through. We need to continue in Christ. We need to continue doing things in our Christian walk that will revolutionize us. You know, that we'll be able to stay on fire. Amen. Let's look at a verse here. This is Psalms 84, 5 through 7. It says, blessed is the man whose strength is in you, whose heart is set on pilgrimage or on a journey. As they pass through the valley of Baca, they make it a spring. The rain also covers it with pools. They go from strength to strength. Each one appears before God in Zion. So what is this saying? Blessed are we when we're on a pilgrimage. Blessed are we when we're on a journey. Oh, what kind of journey? A spiritual journey. not just a road trip, but we're on a spiritual journey. In other words, how many have heard of the story Pilgrim's Progress? It's a book that was basically written by a Christian, and he was trying to communicate this life that we live. And it was about that he was walking on this path, and sometimes the enemy would come or enemies would come to try to get him off the path or try to take from him what he had. And his goal was to get to the top of the mountain or to glory, so to speak. And that's what we're on. We're on a pilgrim's progress. We are all pilgrims. We are all sojourners, it says. In other words, we're temporarily here on this earth, but we're in a progress. We're in a journey. And this journey is either going to be good or bad, depending upon how we yield our lives to Christ. If we don't yield our life to Christ, the journey's not going to end up as well. As Bob was sharing, you know, we got to be fully devoted. Now, obviously, it's hard to be fully devoted every single day at every single moment. And I thank the Lord that he has grace in my life, that I don't have to try to measure up to some standards that I'm not capable of doing right now. But what I am capable of doing is yielding to the work of the Holy Spirit in my life and saying, Holy Spirit, you transform me like you want to, like you need to. I may not be perfect right now, but I know you can make me into this new creation that you say that I am. And then I go through the process of renewing my mind, which we'll see in a moment. Let's look at another verse. This is Hebrews 4, 11 through 13. Let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest, lest anyone fall according to the same examples of disobedience. For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom he must give account. What is this saying? It's saying that the word of God is going to be able to search us out. It's going to be able to evaluate where we're at. It's going to be able to say, hey, you know what? You think that you are going this way for this reason, but your intentions are really this. So you might want to reevaluate what you're doing, son. Or it's going to challenge maybe our own belief system. Maybe we're going to be challenged in the way that we think, you know, that the kingdom of God operates, and we've gotten some bad teaching. And the word of God will help cause everything to be set into place. But you have to give the word of God room in your life. Means that you have to read the word. Now, since we're talking about the new year, I want to encourage anyone who would like to join. I think it's like January 4th is when we'll be starting the next set of daily readings. It's just one or two chapters a day. The next set that we're going to go into is all the writings of Paul. So it'll be a 60-day journey, and so I encourage all of you. I try to put something on there daily, just kind of a thought that I've gotten. Lynette has been posting really amazing stuff, so sometimes she posts things. I think, that's good enough. I don't need to add to that. But I encourage you all to join. It's on YouVersion. And if you don't have YouVersion, you can get it on your Bible, or you can get it on your computer. And what you can do is sign up with your account and then get hold of me, and then I will add you to the list, and then you can start reading daily word with us. Yes. It's open for all kinds of things. Yeah, I'm actually like, oh no, nobody's saying anything, because it should be like a discussion. But I know people are busy and they're trying to get on with, you know, the rest of their day. But yeah, it could be a discussion, you know. And the writings of Paul had a lot of crazy things in there, so it'll be fun to discuss all the things that he put in there. So, yeah, that's something that we can do. It starts, I think, around January 3rd or 4th is when we'll be done, because we're just now finishing up the book of Luke. Isn't it around 3rd or 4th? Yeah, okay. And you guys can join me in that. That would be like Wednesday or Thursday. So I'll send out one to the whole church, an invite. And so if you'd like to join, just click that, and then that'll ask you to put in your email. You can use like a Gmail account or whatever you want to do. And then it will allow you to be part of my friend group, and then I will add you to it. So little side note there. So you can start getting the word of God in you that will be like a two-edged sword, and it will go between the division of your soul and spirit, the joints and marrow of your being, and a discerner of your thoughts and intents of your very heart. That's so radical. I mean, I encourage everybody to memorize this. This is one of the first verses I memorized. And it keeps me in check, because it reminds me I need the word in my life. The word is a lamp to your feet and a light to your path. You feel dark? You feel like you're not sure which way to go? Use the word. The word is a lamp to your feet and a light to your path. 2 Corinthians 3:15 through 18. So this goes along with this now. We just heard about reading the word and what it does, and it's radical, spiritual, supernatural work in our lives. And this says, but even to this day, when Moses is read, a veil lies on their heart. Nevertheless, when one turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. So this is talking about that there was a veil that Moses put over his face so that the people wouldn't see the glory leaving. But also, Paul relates that to there's a veil over the Jewish people. And they, you know, just like when Jesus was there, a lot of them didn't see who he was. They didn't recognize him as their Lord. So there was a veil over them. But when you turn to the Lord, the veil's taken away. So what this tells me is that when we turn to the Lord, our spiritual eyes are open. And we have understanding that can understand spiritual things. It says that spiritual things must be discerned spiritually. Carnal things, carnally. But when you discern spiritual things with your carnal mind, it's foolishness to you. If you ever read something the Bible says, that just doesn't make sense. That's actually funny. Your carnal mind's involved, not your spirit. So, nevertheless, when one turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now, the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. In other words, there's freedom in Christ. There's freedom in the Holy Spirit. But verse 18 says this, but we all with unveiled face, in other words, we all with clarity now, with the ability to see and understand and receive, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord. Keep in mind, we're looking at the word. The word's sharper than any two-edged sword. It's able to see the thoughts and intents of our heart. And it says, we are being transformed into the same image that we're reading from glory to glory. Wow. Now, you tie that with Hebrews 4:12. That saying is, as we read the Bible and we see in the word what we're supposed to be and who we're to be like, it comes in us, transforms us, and makes us more like him. I guarantee that if you just read your word and you were diligent at that, you wouldn't even need a Bible study. If you just let that word keep getting in you, it would transform you to people that people would not be able to recognize you. They say, who are you? I'm me. And you may not even sense the transformation, but the word is changing you if you're reading it with an open heart, if you're reading it with a hunger and a desire to be more like Jesus. Amen? And just as by the Spirit of the Lord. So as being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. In other words, the Spirit of the Lord's changing us, but when we include the word, it expedites the process. See, because the Bible says that he's at work in you to will and to do of his good pleasure. Even before you knew him, he was at work in you to will and to do of his good pleasure. You may not have known him. You may have been ignorant to the things of God, but he was starting to do a process in you. And once you receive him, you're able to now live out his desires, his goals, his dreams, and for your life. Amen. Romans 12:2. Always got to bring this one when we're talking about transformation. It says, and do not be conformed to this world. In other words, don't keep looking at the world. Don't keep letting the world come at you like a freight train and manipulate you and mold you into being like it. But be transformed, be revolutionized by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. In other words, there is an ability for all of us here to be different. We don't have to remain the same. And it's not about how many, you know, times we go to church or how many worship songs we sing or anything. It's about how much we let the Word of God, the truth that the Holy Spirit reveals to us and the truth that we receive in the Word, revolutionize us, transform us. That word in the Greek is metamorpho. It's where we get our metamorphosis, where you get the caterpillar, the cocoon, and the butterfly. Same word. That will happen to us if we renew our mind. And how do we renew our mind? Hebrews 4:12, with the Word of God that's living and active. We stare and see Jesus. We see in His Word who we're supposed to be. We see in His Word reflections of how bad off we are at the time. Sometimes I read in the Word and say, oh man, I do not measure up to this. Lord, help me. And the Holy Spirit says, I'm already helping you. You don't know that. But you just gave me fuel to work on you being transformed, son. Amen? Amen. Amen. Okay, so, but you must endeavor to stay revolutionized. So there's the fact that you've been revolutionized. You are a new creation. There's no doubt. Some would say, well, but you know, I haven't walked with the Lord for 20 years. I don't think I'm a new creation. You're a dull creation, but you're a new creation. You haven't been sharpened lately. You need to get around some, if you're a man, you need to get around some brothers and let iron sharpen iron and start to chip away some of that stuff that's built up through the years. But you are a new creation. I don't care. I don't care if you've been on the back burner for 20 years. You're a new creation. Don't let the enemy lie to you. Right. You can today start afresh and anew on fire for God. Because the same Holy Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead will give life to your mortal body, and you'll be on fire again. As a matter of fact, I was trying to get Eric to, when you brought up, I can't remember that song, but I was going to get him to say, fire, how does it go again? Fire and wind, come and do it again, right? Open up the gates, let heaven on in. Fire and wind, you know what that represents? Pentecost, the day of Pentecost, when the church started. Now, his disciples, they were with Jesus those 3 years, and yeah, they got input and everything, but the church started on the day of Pentecost. That's when fire and wind came, and you know what? That same fire and wind that was there on the day of Pentecost is available for us. It's not something we have to wait for a special move of God. It's just that we have to be receivers of what God wants to do. Amen? All right. So here's a verse to encourage you to see today where you think you are. Because it says in 2 Corinthians 13, 5-6, put yourselves to the test to see if you are in the faith. So that person that's been sitting there 20 years, they need to put themselves to the test. Am I still in the faith? Am I doing what God's called me to do? Am I in Christ? Am I remaining in Christ in my life? Examine yourselves. Or do you not recognize regarding yourselves that Jesus is in you? That 20 years, Jesus has been in you. Amen. The Holy Spirit has been in you. Maybe that seems dormant, but that Holy Spirit can be activated again by you saying, Holy Spirit, I give you room again. I make room for you. Do whatever you want to. Simple words. You know, you could say you need to get born again, but not really. You just need to come back to your first love of being born again. Realize that He is the one that saved you out of everything that was destroying your life. And well, I may have gone back to some of it. Yeah, but you don't have to remain that way. Nobody says that I've been backslid so far. Oh, maybe you may say that, but nobody would tell you backslid so far that you can't come back to Jesus. That's a lie from the pit of hell. I always love this saying, Jesus didn't save you for your best day. He saved you for your worst day. And whether your worst day came after you got saved, it doesn't matter. He saved you for your worst day. We were talking about being bold. Come boldly before the throne of grace where you find mercy. When do you need mercy? When you're not in a good place. And help in time of need. So we're to come boldly to God when we're messed up. Not when it's all, not when everything's all roses and everything's perfect in our lives. Hunky dory. That's an old, do you guys know hunky dory? Okay, good. Dating myself, huh? Anyway, but we're to come boldly when we're messed up, not when everything's perfect. Or do you not recognize regarding yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you? Remember that. He is in you. When the Holy Spirit lives in you, Jesus lives in you. Now you may say, well, yeah, it's Jesus by the Spirit. It's not really the same thing as Jesus when he walked the disciples. No, it's better. Because he can be in me at the same time he's in you. Fully. I have his full attention. He's not being distracted by Caden over there, you know, having his own experience. Like, oh man, Caden's really getting a lot from God right now. I wonder if there's anything left for me. There's always perfect attention. It says that the hairs of my head are numbered. Now, I don't have any hair on my head, but they're numbered. That's how much he thinks about me. I think I cause him a little more consternation because where are those hairs? No, I'm kidding. But there's the dynamics of that right there, that our hairs are numbered, is telling us that there's nothing that escapes God. And that was before you were saved. How much more now that you're in his fold, so to speak? And then it says, unless indeed you fail the test. In other words, if Christ isn't in you, you fail the test. But I hope that you will realize that we have not failed the test. So I'm here to tell you, it's never too late to get on fire for God. Or even just to start walking with him simply again. Isaiah 40, 30 through 31. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. What is he saying here? What are we saying here? We're saying that when we wait on God, when we take time out of our busy life and we wait on God, there's things that happen to us that make us supernatural, strong, like superheroes. Yeah, like superheroes. I know this is an age, especially for, you know, those that follow, you know, Marvel, not so much the new Marvel, but the old Marvel, the Avengers, you know, Endgame and all of that. Those superheroes were so cool, weren't they? I mean, what they could accomplish and time travel and all that stuff just seemed almost impossible. I'm telling you, you are more of a superhero than they are. Because you're connected with the very source of life and the very source of power. The very source of power is who we're connected with. But the thing is, it's like, I don't always see it in my life, but it doesn't matter if I don't see it right now. It's still there. It's like a potential waiting to happen. They'll mount up with wings like eagles. They'll run and not be weary. They'll walk and not faint. It says, even the young men shall utterly fall. So I always like this as I get older. Oh, yeah, okay, Lord, I'll take that. I'm going to receive your strength so that even as young men get weak, I'm going to get strong. Amen. Yeah, why not live a supernatural life? Why not be totally different even with our physical bodies? Saying that something is happening inside of us that's transforming us from the inside out, and that we just don't decay and decrupt and corrupt and, you know, and eventually, you know, fall into a grave somewhere. But that we're like Moses, and it says that the very last, before God literally expired him, because he couldn't have expired, it says that he was as strong and clear, you know, as the day when he started his journey with God. That's because he spent a lot of time with God. I believe the more time we spend with God, the more we will be transformed. Final one. 2 Timothy 1, 5 through 7. When I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded is in you also. Therefore, I remind you to stir up the gift of God, which is in you through the laying of my hands. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. Isn't it amazing that he told Timothy that he needed to make sure that fear wasn't gripping him and that he was stirring up the gifts no matter what he saw with his natural eyes? no matter what he was feeling inside. He needed to stir up the gifts. He needed to remind himself that he was saved. Now, in this particular case, he actually had the laying on of hands and prayer. I laid on hands on a couple today, and I prayed over them. The sealing, that work that God was doing as they were being baptized in Desiree and Fabian. That's something they can bring back to remembrance. Yes. They can get the tape and listen. I mean, it's not like it was all super natural, eloquent, but it was from my heart, and I believed in that moment it's a powerful thing that they can connect their faith to. That's what Paul's saying. Remember what was spoken over you, Timothy. Remember that God's doing a work in you. Now, some of you may say, well, Pastor, I haven't really had anyone speak anything over me. Well, I'm telling you, then spend some time with me, and I'll tell you things that I sense that God's doing in you. And then you can anchor on those. Or you can get in the Word, and God himself will tell you what he sees in you and what he wants you and who he wants you to be. Because we are more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. We are the head, not the tail. Not in a way that we are prideful and arrogant and make people feel less than us. That's not how it should be. Matter of fact, people, when they're around us, should feel like we're serving them. Yeah. And that we're humbling ourselves and we're putting them first. Whether they're Christian or non-Christian. So God has not given you a spirit of fear, me a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. So stir up the gifts. Stir up those things that God has spoken over you or that you've heard maybe before. That you've heard, like, God wants to do this, you know, in the lives of believers. And you've heard that. And you say, wow, that I would like that to happen. Well, then re-anchor yourself to that and say, Lord, I'm believing that promise for me. Find promises in the Word. I mean, I can give you hundreds of them that are in the Word, that are for whosoever will, that you can grab hold of that and be transformed, be revolutionized. Amen? Amen. So New Year's, revolution, metamorphosis, transformation, regeneration, renewal. In other words, don't remain the same. I'm telling myself that. Don't remain the same. And yes, you could do some things that are going to be healthy for you. You can do some things that are going to maybe make your life better in relationships. All of those things are good to commit to. But the most important relationship to commit to this year is walking with God closer. That's why on the 10th of January, we're going to start a 21-day fast. And again, like Eric said, you don't have to just stop eating altogether. You know, you could just like skip one meal a day, or you could get rid of the sweets, or you just, you know, like Gay said that one time when she was sharing with the church, you know, do something that you're going to know that you need God in that moment. You know, if you give up something that you don't even miss, it's really not going to do anything. But it's something about when you come to that moment when, oh, I'd like that right now. You go, you know what? I'm going to turn my attention towards the Lord. I'm going to receive strength from him right now to walk out this commitment I made to him. Because I'm more hungry for him than I am for that. That's what fasting is. It's denying your flesh to say, I'm more interested in God than I am in this thing. Could be social media. That could be hard. Could be TV at night, you know. Could be all kinds of things. And husbands don't say, yes, I'm fasting from my wife. that's not gonna fly. Thought I would throw that in. It just came to the back of my mind. No, it's about things that are truly going to transform you to be more like Jesus. Amen? Amen. Lord, we thank you that you've revolutionized us. Lord, that we're new creations. Lord, that we're not, Lord, the same individuals now than when we first came to Jesus. We've been transformed, Lord. So I pray right now that that revolutionary power, Holy Spirit, that is inside of us would be awakened to continue the process. Lord, we do know that revolution is a process, Lord. So help us in the coming days, weeks, months, and years, Lord, to continue to walk the walk of faith, Lord. Continue, Lord, to do the things, Lord, that you've given us in your word and by your word to change and be transformed. Help us, Lord, not to be captivated by the world so much that we're not transformed. Help us, Lord, to set our eyes and our gaze and our fix on you so that we follow you wherever you lead us. And Lord, help us stir up the revolutionary process that's already started in us. Help us, Lord, not to let it go dormant and quiet. Lord, help us to be on fire for you once again. Lord, don't let us remain lukewarm. Don't let us get lukewarm. Help us to stay on fire for you. I just bless your people right now, Lord, with a wonderful year in Christ. Let their lives be so blessed and enriched by your presence, Lord, that they don't know what to do but to share what's happening because of what you're doing in and through them. We thank you, Lord, that you have begun a good work in us, and you are going to be faithful and true to complete it to the day of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Make room for you, Lord, in our lives. We choose, Lord, to get the stuff out, Lord, that's blocking your way. We choose, Lord, to remove the things and that distract us and keep us from your best. Help us, Lord, make so much room for you this year coming up, Lord, that it revolutionizes our life. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. Love you. Have a great New Year's Day tomorrow. And we'll see you next year.